Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Remember to get all the episodes and the social media. Get over to the website, thegreatdivide1776.com. Today, I'm honored to have with me on the show Sheriff Mark Lamb of the Pinal County Sheriff's Office in Arizona. Sheriff Lamb doesn't really need an introduction. He's a celebrity of sorts in the law enforcement community and definitely in the conservative community. Sheriff Lamb, thank you for coming on the show. It's an honor.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for the intro. Appreciate it.
No problem. You're a little bit of a hero to me. I'll be honest with you, just because, you know, you're well known in the law enforcement community and beyond for speaking out in support of just constitutional rights, you know, like the Second Amendment and the important issues like border patrol, border security, because of obviously where you're located. I'm up north in New York, so the southern border. The security there is really important. I wanted to start with the man-made southern border crisis and get your perspective as the sheriff of a county that's as large as the state of Connecticut, which is tremendous, that's close to the southern border. How bad is it, Sheriff? How bad is it?
It's bad, Alan. I mean, I'm not just saying that. You know, it's not a political issue. I was very vocal even during when President Trump was there. The difference was is that we had a president who was willing to help us, who understood the issue. And so as we got into like 2020, I was still out posting saying, hey, look, this is an issue that needs to be addressed that I don't hear either. You know, I didn't hear Joe Biden talking about it. And but what we had was it was actually on the decline. They were working. They were addressing the issue. They had common sense solutions like the wall and many other things. That all disappeared on January 20th. You know, the lights went out on the communication lines and with the Washington and all those folks. And we started seeing a huge amount of people coming over to this country. Now, just for your listeners, we're about 70 miles off the border. So we're not right on the border. We're between Phoenix and Tucson. But we're about 60, 70 miles off the border. And everything that comes into my county that we see on a daily basis are not these layups. They're not women and children showing up at the border and claiming asylum or refugee status. These are military age men from who knows what country, dressed in camouflage clothes, bringing drugs into this country, working for the cartel, having paid the cartel to come in here. And they run from us every time, whether we contact them in a vehicle or with our helicopter. It's a mess, and it's only going to get worse as long as we have an administration that fails to recognize it for what it is, which is a crisis.
I mean, we can't even get a member of the administration besides the, you know, Homeland Security Secretary to visit the border. You know, the president made the vice president the border czar, and she, what are we, like, it's like 50-something days since she was tapped for that job. And she laughs about it. She has not been to the border, and you're 70 miles from the border, and like you said, you're encountering military aged men, and you know our economy in this country is suffering right now to begin with, and I can't imagine what the economy is going to become with that. I've been telling people that what the current administration has done is opened up the economy immensely and made it boom for drug cartels, for the human traffickers, the drug traffickers. I mean, they're making millions and millions a day. So, I mean, are you obviously in your agency, you have a narcotics division. Are they seeing any influx or intel with drug trafficking coming through your county?
Absolutely. I mean, they estimate that 50% of all the illegal drugs in America, and I want to touch on that, Alan, because yep. This is not an Arizona problem or a Pinal County problem. This is an America problem. They estimate that 50% of all illegal drugs are coming through the borders of Arizona, And I would contend that 80% of that at some point probably came through my county, whether on the I-8 freeway, the I-10 freeway going up into Phoenix, or through the desert areas. And what's alarming is the cartels, obviously, like you mentioned, they're making money hand over fist with this administration. They probably, if they could vote, they'd be voting for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris all day long, because these people are lining their pockets with gold right now. They're charging people $5,000 to come in here. They're carrying hard drugs. And that's what's alarming is they're not, it's not the marijuana and the few other things that you used to see, because so many states are legalizing it. They have shifted to the synthetics. And those synthetics that should concern every American are the methamphetamines and fentanyl. And those drugs aren't designed to stay here, Alan. They're not designed to stay in Pinal County. Neither are the bodies. You go back east, those folks will have more people in their custody that are illegally here in this country than I do in my facility. And I'm here in Arizona.
Right.
But what we're going to see across this country, and it is going to be disastrous, is the rise in fentanyl, the rise in overdoses, depression, mental health issues. That is going to be a huge problem for this country. And even if we stopped it right now, the whip of the tail that they've already allowed to happen is going to cause some serious damage for America.
And it already is. I mean, there are cities, you know, I'm in New York, and I'm 35, 40 minutes from New York City, and affluent areas, the Upper West and Upper East Side of Manhattan. I know you've been to New York plenty of times doing the live PD show. Now those areas, you go to those areas, and there are people openly smoking crack in parks and having shootings in broad daylight. It's something like back in the early 90s, late 80s, when the crack epidemic hit, except now it's a new drug. And the law enforcement's hands are tied. We have the issues with Democratic-run cities that are suppressing what their law enforcement agencies can do. You know, you're a huge county, and correct me if I'm wrong. I was doing a little reading that as big as the state of Connecticut, and you're not a large agency. It's something like how many deputies do you have on patrol? I've read something about you have 650 or so employees with the Pinal County Sheriff's Office.
Yeah, we have about 650 employees. We have a 1,500 bed jail. But only about 220 of those guys are deputies. That's if we're fully staffed.
Wow.
About 100 of them patrol the area the size of the state of Connecticut. Now, mind you, we have 8 cities within that, 8 police departments within our county. But of a population of almost 500,000 people in Pinal County, we are responsible for over half of those people, over 250,000 people, as the sheriff's office. We're a full-service sheriff's office, which means that we handle civil issues, we control the jail, and we also do road service, which means that we respond to calls for service out there in the community. And it's our responsibility to protect our community from dangerous things like drugs. And Alan, I was just going to say real quick, as it relates to, I always say it's not about immigration anymore. This is about human trafficking and drug trafficking. If you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or you're from Mars, you should absolutely care about border security if you claim to care about human beings, because the cartel are abusing these people's rights on a daily basis. They're using the children as pawns and oftentimes abusing them. They're raping the women in many cases. They're extorting the men, forcing them to carry drugs. And that doesn't even begin to start to talk about the effects that it's having on our communities with the human trafficking and the amount of dangerous drugs flowing into our children's hands, our parents, our brothers, our sisters. This is a huge problem. And I hope that America starts to wake up to the fact that we have a presidency that has, not only do they not care, it's almost as if they want this chaos. They want to undermine the rule of law. And they said it in so many words. They want to reinvent America. And to do that, you have to undermine and uproot the system that currently exists. And that one of the primary things is to undermine the rule of law. And make no mistake about it, open borders does exactly that. And you're seeing the effects of that throughout the country and throughout the effects of their rhetoric of undermining law enforcement. You're seeing that violence increase.
And they have so many people that they're now flying them or busing them all over the country. There are a few other news outlets that were doing reporting. The Iowa Standard, they have an investigative reporter where they had planes come into the airport in Iowa, and there were all children on these planes with what looked like a federal government law enforcement officers putting them on buses. The same thing happened in Tennessee. It's happening all over. And yeah, we have an administration that did want this to happen. I honestly believe, and I stand by this, that this was all orchestrated to become the largest Democratic voting registration drive in modern U.S. history. And not to get all political, because we're talking about it, but it all ties in. We have now, in they want to pass the H.R. 1 bill and federalize all elections and get everybody automatically registered to vote. We have open borders. There is their base. So it's only a matter of time. They're releasing people without dates to come back to their to court dates, or they have court dates 3 years after they're in the country. Catch and release it is still a big thing. They're coming, and they're coming from like over 60 countries, I'm hearing now, not just Central America. And it's dangerous for everybody. And they're smart. These cartels are smart with the smuggling of children, because they know if they send the children to the border, if they send groups and groups of children to the border, Border Patrol is going to have their hands full processing them, while all of the other open parts of the border are fair game for the drug traffickers, human smugglers, and everything else. That's what I'm seeing, and I would imagine any rational human being can see that, you know?
You would think that, but that's not the case. Obviously, I don't see people apologizing for putting these people in office. I mean, they're ruining this. They've ruined the economy. They've opened the borders. We're seeing huge increases in fuel prices, lumber prices, a shortage in housing, because you can't just inject 70,000 gotaways and 170,000 people that you let in 1 month. You can't inject that amount of people. Like, my kids who are teenagers can't find, or who are 20 can't find places to live.
Right.
And now you're going to continue to add more and more people in here. Look, I'm not an economist, but I'm a common sense guy, and I can tell you this won't add up. It's going to cause a lot of problems. Yeah. But you would think that the average person could see it, but they don't. The average person is still being blinded by this mainstream media who continues to push these false narratives, and to push an agenda, and a biased agenda at that, onto the American people. And it is shameful. And honestly, turn off your news. There are still a couple of news stations, Newsmax, OAN. I think Fox is still doing a good job. But you've got to turn off your news and get back in touch with your community. Out here, we still have a great relationship with our community. They don't want to see any defunding. They're frustrated with the open border issue. That's what I hear on a daily basis, and we're going to continue to fight for it.
Yeah, I hear that too. Even in very diverse communities, minority communities, you'll have black communities that will come out and say, listen, we don't support defunding the police. We need more police in diverse high crime communities, because children are getting shot randomly while they're sitting in a McDonald's drive-through parking lot with their father on a Sunday. Kids are getting gunned down because drug dealers are having a shootout across the street. And the police in a lot of these cities, again, have their hands tied because the people that run the city, Democrats mostly, do not want to allow their police to police. And the average community member of those communities, they want more police. But no one wants to report about that. No one wants to speak about that, except you'll get Newsmax and things like that. So, you brought up something that I wanted to touch on, positive community interaction with the police, because it's so, in my opinion, so important right now that every community in America, every police department in America, I feel like has to work twice as hard to keep that positive community interaction and friendliness, if you will, that the police are there to help you. The police officers are not waking up and leaving their family to go out and hunt African Americans in the street. And I say it like that. I'm going to say it like that because where I am in Long Island, New York, in my neighborhood, it's a white neighborhood. That's what it is. And in the middle school, there was a chorus teacher who was white, who told the whole white class that police basically enjoy murdering black men in black neighborhoods. I mean, my head exploded. And this is the problem with the, you know, the lefty liberals, the sick woke culture that they're trying to instill in young children, young white children, that the police are bad and that stay away from them. They're just everything evil. So like in your community, you said you're obviously out in the community all the time. People see you as especially an elected sheriff, but a lot of these police departments, they're just there. And I don't blame them. Who would want to be a police officer in this day and age right now? I know you take a civil service test. It's a good job. You're young, maybe out of the service, and it's a great job, and great people should always have those jobs. But what do you say about community law enforcement agencies, how important it is, and things they could do to keep that positive relationship within their community?
Oh, it's extremely important. You know, that's why I've always done that. When I took office, I do things a little bit different outside the box. I wasn't a career law enforcement guy. I was a businessman and a marketing guy for a long time. And so I view things a little bit different. And, you know, and even within my own agency, I've got fantastic people that work with me, chiefs. But you know, it took them some getting used to as well. And I've said, look, you just got to trust the process here. We're going to do things different. We're going to market it. We've got to really bridge that gap with the community. And so we did that long before. We did that when there was still a lot of support for law enforcement. So as the wheels started to fall off, we already had, or I always equate it to like a bank account. Every day you've got to make deposits. You make small deposits into your community trust bank account. And that's off of social media posts, you know, having good community service, having activities, youth programs, the way everything that you do deposits money, because you will have withdrawals. And when they come, they're heavy. Those heavy withdrawals take a lot out of your community trust bank. If you don't have that any money in there to cover those, that's when you have problems. And that's when you see the rioting and the looting. And so, look, we started doing that a long time ago. We in law enforcement do a really good job, but we've also been our own worst enemy over the last year and a half. I've watched a lot of police officers arrest people for not wearing masks, close down churches. And look, I know they want to just maintain their jobs. And in most cases, they're doing what their city councils or mayors or chiefs of police want them to do. But they haven't helped it. No. You know, we've got to do a better job of standing for what is right, no matter the cost. I was raised at that. There's no guarantees that I'll get reelected. I don't go out and just run politics. If I wanted to, I could run politics and make sure that I got reelected.
Sure.
But I believe in doing the job and having virtue and honor and integrity in the way you do it. I took an oath. I took that serious. And so I do the job to the best of my ability. I leave everything on the table every day. And hopefully that translates into people wanting to keep me in the job. But I'm not doing it for politics. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. And I hope that more and more police officers across this country will do that as well. That's the only way we'll push back against this cancel culture.
100%. And I, you know, there are times where like these mask mandates in certain cities where they're forced to arrest somebody for not wearing a mask. And is it necessary a law? No.
Well, that's the thing is they're not forced to do it.
Right.
They will lose their jobs, but nobody's standing there with a gun to these guys' head saying, arrest this person for not wearing a mask. There's a big difference of being told and being forced. They're being told, but they're making a choice to enforce that. What I believe are many cases unlawful mandates, not even laws,
right,
and violations of people's constitutional rights. And that's what we need to understand is none of these guys are being forced to do it. But they are being pressured to do it. And it's shame on those cities and those agencies that are pressuring their guys to do this kind of nonsense.
Right, because if they don't, they run the risk of losing their job or some type of discipline, which is insanity. Police officers should only be enforcing the laws that are on the books. I often, people that don't get it, they'll say, oh, you know, so-and-so got arrested for this and it was really nonsense. And my answer is always, okay, law-wise, if you break the law and you get arrested, you cannot blame and put the blame and hate on the police that are enforcing those laws. What you can do...
That's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem in this country is, you know, we see guys that have a negative interaction with law enforcement or use of force issue. And then we want to blame the police. I never hear anybody talking about their behavior, their criminal activity, their actions that led up to our interactions. You said something before. None of us leave the house every day saying, hey, we're just going to show up and start roughing people up. That's not what it is. Right. What we do is we show up. If we go the whole day and we don't get any calls for service, oh, hallelujah. We would love that. But that's not how it works. We get people that call us to respond to deal with somebody who is breaking the law, or we are on view or observe somebody breaking the law. We are then required to act. We have to act. It's the law that says we have to act. We show up, we do our job. Then their actions continue to push it towards a use of force action. And then when we finally use force, now we're the bad guy.
Right.
But nobody wants to talk about the criminal behavior and the bad decisions that led up to it that caused us to have to respond to deal with their actions. And then, unfortunately, in many cases, lead to a use of force situation or even possibly deadly force. And then we're the bad guy, which is, I think, is absolutely disgusting that in society we have shifted that way. And the statistics just don't support it. I'll just say this one last thing and turn it back over to you. Is you mentioned crime, but I saw an article where it said black women are being killed at the hands of police every day. The year that they were saying that, the year prior, two black women were killed, and we don't even know whether they were killed, whether it was justified or not. But there was only two in a year. So that is misleading the American people and misleading communities and causing distrust. And this is the result you get is what we're seeing now, more and more people getting hurt. And that includes law enforcement. We've had a rash of law enforcement people die this year, and it is unacceptable.
Listen, I was a paramedic in New York City for quite a while. And I have a lot of friends that are law enforcement, family that are law enforcement. So someone like me, I get it. And I always advocate for the police. They're there to do a job. Nobody wants a police officer. The last thing they want to do is have to unholster their weapon and use it for lethal, using that lethal force. But when it's justified, it's justified. And then, unfortunately, it becomes politicized, mostly by the left, who now want to look at these. And listen, I don't mix words. I could say what I want. Dead criminals are not martyrs. When the Speaker of the House stands on the Capitol steps and thanks somebody for a criminal for dying in the name of racial injustice or whatever she thanked them for, that is just a kick in the face to every law enforcement officer in the country. Because like you said, we lost a ton of police officers in the line of duty. I just did an episode on that titled Say Their Names. Because, you know, everybody wants to protest when a criminal or commits a crime and lethal force is justified and has to be used to say that criminal's name. I'm not going to say criminals' names. And I went through in that episode and I picked four or five police officers throughout the country who were gunned down by criminals, like that trooper in New Mexico who did a car stop and the guy got out of the driver's seat with his AR-15 and executed that police officer on the side of the road. that's somebody's name that we should be saying, not holding these criminals of this high regard as victims. They're not victims. They're criminals. And there was a cause for that interaction with law enforcement. And they were all adults and they made their choice. Resisted, run, whatever it is, fight. Things happen. Nobody wants to see a loss of life. Police officers don't want to see a loss of life, whether that person is a criminal or not. They don't want to see that criminal lose their life. And that's, nobody wants to take it full on. And like you said, talk about these things and talk right. about the decisions that that criminal made leading up to that point with that law enforcement interaction that might have ultimately ended their life justifiably. Is it a tragedy? Yes. But unfortunately, the country we live in now, it's all being politicized. They want to call themselves activist groups. And I openly say that the Black Lives Matter movement is a domestic terrorist group. Not even to get into that. That's just my label for them when they're burning down cities and burning police vehicles in the street. But nobody wants to talk about the heroes out there that protect our communities that we charge with protecting us. That's they took an oath to. But nobody wants to talk about when one of them lose a life tragically and can't go home to their family. Every day you leave your house and you kiss your wife and kids goodbye. I know it's always in the back of your head as a law enforcement officer, even as the sheriff, because I know you're still out there enforcing the law as the sheriff. I've seen it in my own eyes on TV. You want to make it back home to your wife and kids. Every police officer wants to make it home to their wife and kids.
And my job, I have a responsibility to the men and women that put on that badge that they go home every night to their families as well. And so I take that very serious. You're right. It's disrespectful to this career, to the people that put this badge on, to the people, the very people that protect our communities, that our politicians would not even have a single family show up. Not only that, they didn't even lower the flags to half staff during the law enforcement memorial weekend. Neither the president or the vice president showed any respect for those who have lost their lives for their country serving in military this weekend, this last weekend. Look, this is I'm only going off of their actions. And their actions say to me that they have disdain for America. They have disdain for people who protect our communities in this country. Look, you have to have somebody that hunts the things that go bump in the night. Yeah. And if you don't, those things that go bump in the night are going to ravage through your communities. We are those people that are willing to put on the badge and do this every night. We do the best we can. We have an extremely, such a low percentage rate of sustained complaints. The statistics do not support the narratives being pushed onto the American people about law enforcement. And look, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I started American Sheriff Network. We lost our voice with some of the pro-police shows. I was sad to see them go and hoping that then in the future they'll bring them back. But in the meantime, I'm trying to give people a place they can go and get back in the front seat of the car with us, that they can support us and that they can hear the stories of these men and women that are out doing this job every day. And please go check it out. It's American Sheriff Network. AmericanSheriffNetwork.com or AmericanSheriffNetwork.com. Either one will get you there. And we'd love to have you in the car with us. It is going to be fun. We're doing the best we can to get you as much content as we can. And I think our men and women who put on this badge deserve that voice.
I'm glad you brought it up because that was my next point, because I know, again, you're an advocate of shining that light on law enforcement. And it was a shame when they canceled Live PD for really ridiculous reasons, because, you know, you have the old school cops, which was, you know, always a good show, but that Live PD really, like you said, brought you into the front seat. But now your network, which I'm really excited about. I just signed up for the yearly membership. I'm actually, me and the wife are going to start binge watching. We're gonna, no problem, man. We're going to start binge watching this weekend. But it's for everybody listening. Listen, it's a paid membership. It's like, what is it? $5 a month, Sheriff? $4.99 a month.
It's less than a combo meal at a fast food restaurant. It's less than a coffee.
Right.
I drink two monsters. I buy two monsters every day. It's less than that, or right around the same price. So look, all we're asking is support a little bit. It costs you one day of money you're probably spending somewhere else where you're not going to get any return on it. We're going to do about 6 to 10 videos a week. We're going to get out to sheriff's offices across the country. Our ability to give you more and more content really depends on people coming in and subscribing and supporting us. And we want to, in turn, be able to give that money back and help a lot of these families that our government has turned their back on. We want to show up, support them, support their families, do good in our community, help people with groceries, do a lot of different things. And we have the charity set up for that. So it's going to be a great ride. And we're looking forward to having you on board.
I want everyone to check it out. It's AmericanSheriff.com. Like Sheriff Lamb said, don't buy that Big Mac in the drive-thru. Put the $4.99 through to American Sheriff. Subscribe. Check out the content. If you get the yearly membership like I did, you also get Sheriff Lamb's book, American Sheriff. There it is, American Sheriff. I can't wait to get it. I can't wait. Maybe you can.
It's perfect as a poster.
Yeah. No. Maybe you could sign mine for me. You know, maybe you could.
I sign them all.
For
anybody that's up to your membership, look at this. I got this right here. Hold on. You can get the inside look at what's going on. All these books I had to sign, these are going out today for all the yearly memberships.
There you go.
The book is called American Sheriff, Traditional Values in a Modern World. You can get it on Amazon as well. But it's a $20 value, so you pay $53.99. You get the year membership for American Sheriff Network, plus you get this book that I sign and send out. If you can see behind this computer all the crap that's on this desk right now, it's like a shipping center right now here. But we're getting these books out. And look, I'm about traditional values. You'll get a better look and insight into me, my life, and the things that have made me the patriot that I am and why I love America so much. And please get on, check it out. You'll love it.
Good.
Well, you hope you love the book.
You'll
definitely love American Sheriff Network. And like I said, worst case scenario, you put a drink on it and it'll keep from staining your wood table.
I'm going to pour myself a nice scotch, use it as a coaster. No, I'll be busy reading it. Listen, AmericanSheriff.com. Sheriff Mark Lamb from Pinal County Sheriff's Office. Again, Sheriff, thank you so much for being here and give us an insight of what's going on. And I know I'm looking forward to the American Sheriff Network. So again, thank you for being here.
And hey, anytime, I'd love to come back on. I know we had some difficulties technically trying to get it done, but we got it down now. I got the right place, right computer. I'd love to come back on and whenever you want to have me, and we'll keep people up to speed with what's going on out there on the border situation, law enforcement. I'm an open book. I'm a straight shooter. So whether it's good or bad, whether it gets me in trouble or not, I feel like people are just hungry for authenticity in this country. And especially people who are elected officials that honor and believe in their oath. And that's me. I believe in protecting the Constitution in America. And that's what I'm going to do. So please come on out.
Thank God for law enforcement officials like you that are willing to come out and talk about it. And listen, you have an open platform on the Great Divide podcast. We have each other's numbers. You can call me, text me anytime you want. You want to talk about something, I'll do a show with you anytime and have you on anytime. All right, everybody. Listen, Mark Lamb, Sheriff Mark Lamb, Pinal County Sheriff's Office, AmericanSheriff.com. Get all the episodes on the Great Divide podcast at thegreatdivide1776.com. Don't forget, go to Amazon, the book, American Sheriff. Get the book, get the subscription, get off your ass, watch the show, read the book. Mm-hmm. Sheriff Lamb is a patriot, a true American, what it means to love this country and law enforcement. Take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and as always, God bless America. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.